Coming up next, Ms. Lauren Rodriguez.
So I have to say, when I was in high school, I was in speech and drama. And my coach, who coached me kind of for both, had this rule that used to say, like, when you were doing a story or you were doing a monologue, like, you couldn't sit. So I grew up in that notion of, like, oh, no, like, never sit because you're going to, like, lose something in that. So in the sake of that, I'm going to sit while I read this story. And I kind of feel like growing up, there's a lot of things that are like that. Like, you grow up either in response of the people that you look up to and either accept what they're giving you or not accept it and kind of fight against it. And that's kind of what my story is about. Last month, I talked about, like, a list of things that are true about me. And one that met with an interesting kind of backlash was the fact that I talk during movies. And interestingly enough, like, I had this moment of, like, no, like, let me defend that. Like, there's actually a really good reason why. But it went against the point of that story. Today's theme is game, which actually is the reason why I talk during movies is a game. Time's up. So the game that I used to play when I was little was with my mom. And when things were not going so great at home, she would take myself and her to a place that was magical and beautiful, and she used to take us to the theater. Sometimes it was live theater, and sometimes it was movies. And obviously, like, the easiest place to go would be the movies. And she had this game that was fantastic for lots of reasons. And the game was to ruin the movie for the person sitting next to you, which was fantastic. So we would sit there and play this game, and she'd kick my butt, like, all the time because she was so good. My mom is a second generation English teacher. I am now a third generation English teacher. So obviously, as, like, a 7-year-old, wasn't getting, you know, like, the what was going to happen next. But for that 2.5, maybe 3.5 when we saw Lord of the Rings, like, for those hours, we were the only people in that theater. And I grew up with kind of a complex about my older brother, which I think most people do. Like, I thought he was the favorite and he got everything. But during that time, he wasn't. And I was. Like, we had this bond, and she totally ruined so many good movies for me. Like, so many good ones, like Pearl Harbor. That's a good movie. Oh my God, I know. If you haven't seen it, watch it, but not with my mom.
What happened to Pearl Harbor?
We'll talk.
Wait, did y'all make a sequel?
Not yet, thank you.
Not yet, oh God.
Any M. Night Shyamalan movie was absolutely ruined. Fight Club, ruined. She got that, like, nothing. She was always able to tell me at the beginning of the movie what was going to happen at the middle and the end of the movie. And seeing these movies now, like, it's kind of like if you've ever seen a movie for the first time on a first date, whenever you see that movie again, it has, like, this visceral effect, either positive or negative. And a lot of those movies, I don't think I can watch the same way, especially a movie like Saving Private Ryan. Saving Private Ryan is a fantastic movie. Cannot watch it now because that was the first time that I had, like, such a reaction to it that I was shouting things out in the movie theater. And I was, at that time, really young. Probably should not have been seeing Saving Private Ryan at that time. But I remember that to get me to stop yelling things out, my mom told me, like, if you keep yelling things out, we're not going to play this game anymore. And I stopped talking because of that. A lot of the things that I learned during that time, like, obviously I learned the rules of plot, the rules of a movie and the rules of a play or any piece of literature. And the thing that I absolutely loved about those rules is that every movie always followed them. Like, the good people were always gonna win. And if the good people weren't gonna win, you knew. Like, you knew as you were watching the movie, like, oh no, this is not that movie. You know, like in Pan's Labyrinth, perfect example. Like, you knew, well, I don't wanna ruin movies now, but you know, like, what's gonna happen because you know what kind of movie that is. And I thought growing up that life was going to be that way, that you would always know. And I still think that for better or for worse, life is that way. There are still signs that you can follow and you kind of can figure out things as you're going along the way. And whether or not you choose to follow them is kind of up to you. The bane of my existence is that in books and movies, no one will ever listen to me. Like, I know. I know the rules, and I know what's going to happen, and I know in specific what they should do. And they never do those things. And then they always, like, are sad and shocked that those things went bad. But I knew. Like, I was the one. Like, if they would just let me write it or just let me talk to them, like, I knew. And I kind of feel like life is that way. Like, we yell when she opens the door to go down to the basement. And we're mad when they flag down that car because those guys are bad. Like, obviously. And we yell and we scream and they never listen. But they still have to open that door. And they still have to flag down that car. And in the end, I feel like we are the ones yelling at ourselves, and we just don't listen. Like, when you know, when you have a choice between two things, you know, and I think that I do as well. If you would just follow those patterns, then you could follow it through. Yes, I talk during movies, and yes, that is kind of annoying. But I kind of feel upon reflection that it's something that I never want to give up about myself. Because it is one of those things that I inherited as a child and don't want to fight against. And I guess that the real goal of that game was never really to ruin the movie, which I kind of think the real goal of the game in the end is to find the truth in the text. Because even though we don't want her to open the door, the reason she does it is because she's afraid. And I think that there's a lot of truth in that. And I kind of feel like every time I write a story and I come up to tell it, like the moments that I'm like writing it and deciding what I'm going to tell are super scary. But I still have to open that door. And I hope that you guys will too.
Thank you, Lauren. I was going to say, if you want a story where characters listen to you, you should write yourself into a story. All the greats have done it. Grant Morrison and Animal Man, etc.